maybe I should just take this thing off, and that way maybe it won't make so much rustling noise. This is all experimental. Anyway. So today we get to explore some new things. It's been a long, long time since I really did anything with Z-transforms, and so, you know, all the stuff we're doing today is all kind of new stuff, and, you know, kind of fun for me too. It's kind of good. So we're just kind of exploring this whole thing together, and hopefully, you know, we'll all kind of catch on together, okay? One of the things I wanted to finish up yesterday, it just kind of bugged me that I couldn't make that limit work, so we had to fix that. Let's go figure out what's going on there. Maybe we can hear. Here's the kind of thing. Remember, we were trying to figure out how this should be like AE to the, you know, J omega 0 KT, right? That's what it should be, right? I mean, the A to E to the minus J omega 0 KT, right? I mean, that's we were pretty sure that's what it's supposed to be, right? So we ought to be able to get that. So anyway, the first thing I want to do is that. So the limit. Actually, the thing I needed, which I didn't get, e to the x is equal to the limit as k goes to infinity of 1 plus 1, no, x over k to the k power. Okay, that's the identity I was trying to remember last day. This is the same identity if you put in x equals 1, right? But when I did this, then you got to use binomial or something to get from this to that, right? Binomial series or something. So anyway, that's the first thing I want to do. We'll do that. The second thing we want to do is we want to look at a sampled system like we did back in Signals, except for Austin. But we want to look at this thing, you know, basically sampling, because that's what we did in Signals. That's what it's all about, digital signal processing. You know, we sample this thing, look at it every capital T seconds. That's what an A to D converter does. We want to do the same kind of, you know, rigmarole we did there, right? And then I'd like to take the Laplace transform of that sampled waveform, okay? And from that, we can define this thing called the Z transform, which is actually kind of related to what we were doing last day, okay? So that's what I want to do. Well, my goal in fiddling around today is just to become more familiar with this Z-transform thing. That's what I want to do. And, you know, like I said, I don't use Z-transforms that much. And I usually come at it from the FFT way of doing things because I teach Signals, you know, and we do that in Signals, and I'm just used to doing it that way. But it's really just another way of looking at it. And it's what the digital control people use. So we want to be able to speak their language, so we've got to get familiar with their notation. That's all. So we'll just kind of try and play around with some stuff today, and that's what we're the goal is, to kind of get used to these Z-transforms. You know, there's such a thing as a transfer function, just like there was back in Laplace transforms, and you know, all those kind of things. We need those because we're going to be taking systems and we're going to be driving them and we're going to try and drive them to do what we want them to do, right? So that's what we're going to be doing. So I want to look at, I don't know, maybe I'll just put, I just want to look at x of t times this thing right here. N equals minus infinity to infinity. Or maybe I should make it K. I don't know. K, N. I'll do N. I'm used to N. Delta of T minus N cap T. And you remember that? And actually, I'd like to take this thing right here, and I want to take the Laplace transform of that thing. That's probably. You guys in Signals will kind of remember this thing on the inside. You know, we did the Fourier transform of it. Well, why don't we just do the Laplace transform? See what happens. And then I'd like to kind of try, after we've done that, that will kind of relate the Laplace transform to the Z transform. You know, then I'd like to just kind of try maybe doing a problem. See if we can actually use this Z transform for something worthwhile. So those are the things we want to try today, and we'll see how far we get. Maybe we'll try on the same problem we've been doing. Okay? So, let's go back and look at number one. Okay? Remember, we were looking at X right there. This X guy. X sub K. What did I have? X sub mu or something. What is that? Was that a K? That is a K. I think it just didn't come out very good. Yeah. It's got to be a K, right? X sub K equals A1, and then we got this 1 plus J omega 0. Remember, that was supposed to be an exponential because we were solving this equation that had then E to the J omega T and E to the minus J omega T were the solutions, right? I mean, that was the differential equation we started out with, a harmonic oscillator equation. That was, I mean, we could look back at the previous thing here. Maybe even one more before that. You know, there it is. There's the solution right there, right? It was the natural response is equal to A1 e to the j omega 0t plus A1 e to the minus j omega 0t. That was the solution to the continuous thing. And now we have the solution to the discretized version. Whoops, where'd it go? Down here. Up there on top, right? So let's just look at it using this definition right here, which I got from Wikipedia. Maybe I should show you that. Since I couldn't remember that exactly. Here it is. No, that's not it. It's somewhere here. Is that it? Yeah, that's it, right here. E to the x is limit n goes to infinity, 1 plus x over n to the n. Okay? All right? So that's what I wrote right up here, except I use k instead of x, right? So that means if I take the limit, and really what's happening on this thing when we go from continuous to discrete, there are two things happening simultaneously. There are really two limits that are happening simultaneously. One is we want to have very small t, right? But in order to get anywhere, you know, you've got to have kt be some little t, right? You know, some actual number, right? So what does that mean? Well, as t gets really small, the capital T gets really small, then the k has to get really big, right? So it's kind of the limit as k goes to infinity and as t gets small, right? I mean, so really we're doing kind of two limits here. K goes to infinity and t goes to zero, right? If we want to take that thing of, what was that? That was x sub k equals, will be the limit, as t goes to zero and k goes to infinity of, I'm going to have a1 times 1 plus j omega 0 t to the k, and then I'm going to put plus a2 times 1 minus j omega 0 t to the k, right? You agree? I'm just going to make one change here. I'm going to put a k right here and a k on the bottom. That's okay, right? Just k over k is 1, right? So I'm going to put a k here and a k here, right? Now I look at this dude right here, take the limit as k goes to infinity, and that will equal a1 e to the j omega 0 kt, right? Plus A2 e to the j omega 0 minus j omega 0 kt, right? And this thing right here is really, you know, t, right? Does that make sense? So it all comes out in the wash. That's cool. You always got to double check stuff like that. Or at least, if you don't, you're running a risk, right? So I'm feeling better about that problem we did yesterday. It looked like maybe we got the right answer, okay? Okay, so are there any questions on number one here? It's too bad I couldn't remember this this limit. My mind is not as good as it should be. Okay, so now let's do number two. Now, for those of you who are kind of rusty on signals, and for the benefit of Austin, who hasn't yet had to suffer with this, I want to talk a little bit about this x of t times this delta of t minus nt. You remember the delta functions, do you, Austin? You know, delta functions. So you know, if I look at this thing, it looks like this. If I graph it, here's the t-axis. You know, here's 0, cap t, you know, minus cap t, 2t, 3t. And this, if I just look at this guy right here, you know, n equals minus infinity to infinity of delta of t minus nt, it's just a bunch of delta functions like this. And so, you know, you kind of got dot, 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 right? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take this dude right here. We're going to take this dude and we're going to multiply him by, I'm going to multiply him by, I guess I'll write it over here like this, t. Now here's 0, and here is, this is x of t, whatever x of t is going to be, okay? Now, when you do that, you get this thing down here. Here's 0. So let's see, it's probably about kind of like this, and then it goes up, and you know, you get the idea here. The areas of these things, you know, are big, where that guy is big in the area, you know. And the interesting thing about this, you know, I always kind of wondered why we did this. And the reason we do this is because we're throwing out an infinite amount of data when we do an A to D conversion. This is kind of trying mathematically to represent what happens when we do an analog to digital conversion. And basically what I'll get here when I do this is just this thing right here, n equals minus infinity to infinity, and it's going to be x of nt times delta of t minus nt, like that, right? That's what it's going to be. Because everywhere between these things, you know, everywhere between here and here, I'm getting 0. And I might as well just say, you know, at this point, right, this one has got an area of x of, you know, minus cap t. That has an x of 0 area. That has an x of 1 cap t area, x of 2 cap t area, and so on, right? And this is what happens when I multiply that guy by that guy, or, you know, this guy by that guy. And the reason I'm doing this is I'm trying to come up with mathematically a way of retaining the information that I'm saving while throwing away all the information that I'm really throwing away when I do an analog to digital conversion. And as you see, this does retain the information I have right there. And, you know, you wonder, why did I multiply it by something as powerful as an impulse function? Well, the reason I multiplied it by an impulse function is that if I multiplied it by anything less than that, if I was to integrate this thing, I would get 0. Right? In other words, if I just multiplied it by, you know, instead of delta, it's just multiplied by, you know, 1 or something here, right? When I integrate it, it's just going to disappear because there's no force, no impulse behind that, no weighting, right? So what I really kind of did was I took the area between 0 and capital T here in some way, and I gave it, you know, I gave the weighting of this, the votes of these guys, I gave them all to that guy right there at 0, right? And the next guy, I gave it all to T and so on, right? So I could, you know, scale this by a 1 over cap T if you want, or, you know, some of those kind of things, but as long as I gave it something like this, then it still has enough to retain what's going on when I do the integral. And this is a common thing that people do. And so you think of this as the sampled waveform, and it's really not anything we have. What we have in reality when we go to the computer is just those numbers. Just those numbers. And so what I'm kind of doing is I'm going from something that was an infinite dimensional space here. You know, there's one for every possible t, there's a different value. So I've got an infinite number of numbers here, you know, kind of like an infinite dimensional vector space. And this went to a countable, you know, vector space. There's still an infinite number of numbers, but not anywhere near as many as there were over here. This is uncountable, and this is countable. I mean, there's a one-to-one relationship between the integers here and the data I've got, and over here, it's kind of like, there's a lot more than just the integers, right? So I've thrown out an infinite amount of data, and in signals, we show that when you do this, as long as you get more than 2 points on the fastest moving sine wave that's in this x, then you can reproduce identically from those x of n's, you can actually get right back to the x. You haven't thrown out any information that's needed. Now that's because in the frequency domain, you said that there were only frequency components, you know, up to this high, and then it was zero thereafter, which means there's only really this much information in the actual function, even though when you look at it up here in time, it looks like there's a lot more, okay? So that's an important concept that you may, you know, have to get from signals and systems, and for you, Austin, if you want to stop by sometime, it'll take, you know, 15 minutes, and I can derive that for you, okay? And you can see exactly how that comes out. But all the rest of these guys, they remember that, and that's a very, very important thing. It's called the Nyquist theorem in signals, okay? So we've essentially, this is what we're doing mathematically to represent our A to D conversion. And, you know, if you want to represent what would come out a D to A converter, you could take this thing, and if you just convolve it with a little pulse, a little, you know, zero here goes up to one here and down to zero here, you know, just a little pulse, then what it will do is if you convolve this with that pulse, it will make a little thing that will be a stepped stair-step thing, which is exactly like what you see out of your D to A converter when you go in embedded systems and you're, you know, printing, sending something out the D to A converter, you're looking at it on the oscilloscope, you see these, you know, little stair-steps. And you can see what the frequency response of that is when you you know, do the convolution, because convolution in time is the same thing as filtering in frequency. And so it's essentially kind of a little bit of a low-pass filtering of this function here. And this function here, it turns out, has whatever the frequency domain response for this guy is, it takes the frequency response for that and it replicates it over and over and over again. Kind of like what we were talking about in electronics, when you multiplied by cosine, it took that thing and moved it over here and moved it over there. This thing is actually, this guy right here, you could think of it, it's a periodic function. You can see it's periodic because it repeats itself, right? So it's a Fourier series, and actually if you do the Fourier series for this, it's something like just e to the j 2 pi nt over cap t, and there may be some 1 over t or something out here, which I can't remember. You know, n goes minus infinity to infinity, and so if you think about it, each one of these e to the j things takes the frequency response that this thing has, and it moves it over to a harmonic. So it just kind of repeats, the frequency repeats over and over again. So that's kind of a little bit of a quick review of signals for us. And so we know all these things from signals. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like to take our old friend from signals, this guy right here, and let's just take the Laplace transform of him. Because we were using Fourier transforms in signals, and controls guys really like Laplace transforms. Okay, so let's just do Laplace transform of that. So let's just write it. Laplace transform of x of t
We've got n equals minus infinity to infinity. Delta of t minus nt is equal to the Laplace transform. Well, we've already figured out that when we multiply this guy by that guy, we end up with this x of nt in here. I might as well put that inside there, right? So let's just put this thing right in here because it's equal to that thing, right? So let's do that. So I'm going to write here x of nt. Okay, so coming along, so I mean, I could write this as the integral here, the integral from 0 minus to infinity. This is the definition of Laplace transform. You remember this thing we did that last day, right? And so I've got this summation here, n equals minus infinity to infinity x of nt, delta of t minus nt, and then e to the minus st dt, right? Okay, now, I'm going to do one of those things that some people are, should make you a little nervous maybe, but we do this kind of thing cavalierly. We're going to exchange a couple limits here. That's not good. Just a kind of reminder, it's not good to exchange limits. Remember our old example? Well, let's do limit as x and y go to 0 of x over y, right? So which is it? Is it infinity or is it 0? Well, it depends on which one you do first, right? So exchanging the order of the limits there is not a good thing, right? So I'm exchanging limits when I'm going to pull this dude on the outside. I'm changing that infinity for those infinities, right? But it's okay. Now, one thing I can see when I pull this guy on the outside, this guy is going to integrate t goes from 0 to infinity, right? And this guy really, if you look at him here, he starts way back at, you got some stuff at minus 2t and minus, and so on. It keeps on going way back here, right? So I'm really not going to integrate any of that stuff, right? Because the integral starts at 0 right here. 0 minus, just before this impulse function here, right? So I could take and I could write this, it's going to be the summation, n equals 0 to infinity. And then I could actually pull the x of nt out because this is a constant right here. It's not a function of little t, right? So I just pop him out of the integral. So I'm going to write x of nt. And then I have the integral 0 minus to infinity of delta of t minus nt e to the minus st dt. Did I do that right? Don't let me mess up now. I mean, I'm assuming I can switch the order of the limits there, Order of, it's kind of like changing the order of integration, although this is a summation and an integral, right?
Why are we not going from 0 to infinity and not from -?
Because when I integrate this dude right here, right? I'm going to integrate from 0 to infinity. So it's really, here's the function I'm integrating right here, right? I'm integrating from 0 to infinity. So I'm not going to get these terms in the sum back here because I'm only integrating from here on, right? So that's why I changed this to a 0. Is that all right? Do the rest of you guys agree? Whatever he says, it doesn't matter, right? One of these days, I'm going to have to do like Dr. Barnett did. I probably all told you this, he was the
radar.
Yeah, the radar thing. Yeah, man. It's so tempting, After a while, students, you get the idea that whatever you're doing, they'll just say, oh, yeah, okay. And they'll just believe it, right? But I don't want you to do that. I really want you to think about this and do the operations with me and come up with the answer, okay? So now I have this thing right here, and if I could do this integral, it would be really nice, wouldn't it? And that integral should be an easy integral, right? I mean, what do you remember about impulse functions? Can you do that integral?
Yeah, that's right. triangle evaluated at the point where the impulse is.
So this is just e to the minus s n t. Is that right?
Do you agree? I just took the function here and changed t to wherever the impulse popped up, which was nt, right?
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, of where, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yep.
That seemed right? Okay, cool. So we have an answer here. We actually figured something out here. So I've got a summation, n equals 0 to infinity of x of nt times e to the minus s nt, right? Or I could actually, let me write this more like this, e to the minus st to the nth power. Is that the same?
Yes.
Is that really the same? Here. So let's just say over here, if I have 2 to the 2 times 3, right? Okay. What I'm saying is that's the same thing as 2 to the 2 raised to the 3, which would be, this would be 4 raised to the 3, right? And I'm saying that's the same thing as 2 raised to the 6th, right? Is that the same? Should we punch it out? It's the same? It's the same. You agree? Okay, it's the same. So we didn't mess up here. Is this all right? Okay, so we got this thing right here. And let's go back to our notes and look what we did yesterday, because at this point it's kind of cool to actually compare with what we had done already. So when did we do? What did we do? Maybe it was back one more slide. Let's check and see. Yeah, it was kind of like just before this. Maybe right here. So let's kind of remember what we were doing here. We started out with this differential equation, which had this solution up here, right? It was the harmonic oscillator equation. You remember that, right? And we solved it in the continuous domain, and we got the answer up here. And it was all our old friend. And then we needed to do this thing in the continuous, in the discrete domain. We took and we did a forward difference approximation to the derivative and the second derivative, right? And we ended up with this difference equation right here, right? Instead of the differential equation, it became what we call a difference equation. It's just, one of these kind of things we could actually apply recursion to get the answers, right? And we were trying to guess how to get the solution to this guy based on our experience with our old friend up here, right? And we said, well, shoot, this is the same kind of solution. I would assume AE to the ST, right? So I said X of KT would be AE to the S, and then KT is like T, right? So AE to the KT, right? And then I was lazy, right? And I said, I'm just going to call that e to the st. I'm going to call that e to the st. I called that z, right? Because I didn't want to write so much stuff. I was kind of lazy. Actually, I was trying to get you used to the new notation. This e to the st, remember, we not in the next slide, we actually showed that it was a delay thing. It was a delay operator. When you multiply by e to the minus st, it's like delaying. E to the plus st is an advance, right? So this z was an advance operator, and z to the minus 1 was a delay operator, right? So that means delay or advance, okay? Now, delays are really something I can understand when it comes to a digital signal processing kind of a thing. Because basically, that's what happens when you do the sampling process. You know, I grab the function now, and then in capital T seconds, I grab the next one, right? So this is the delayed version of that by one sample period, right? And so to do that, I would like multiply by z to the minus 1 to get to this one from this one, right? So this thing we called Z, and so I've got this Z sitting over here again, right? This thing is really, this is equal to the summation N equals 0 to infinity of X of N Z to the N, right? And this they define as the Z transform of X of N.
Is it
Z
to the N or
is
it minus N?
Minus N, thank you. That's the Z transform of X of N. And it really is just the Laplace transform of the sampled waveform of the X of T, okay? So it's our friend. We know this guy. He's our friend. We like him. We've used him over and over in signals, and so for us, this is our friend. And if we just take the Laplace transform of that instead of the Fourier transform, which we were doing all the time in signals, well, then that's the Z transform, except we got tired of writing e to the minus st, right, which was the delay operator in the S domain. Oh, we're just going to call that Z. Z to the minus 1 instead of e to the minus st. Now, the thing that happens here that's a result of our laziness in writing is that there is a kind of a, now there are there are kind of like, you know, we were familiar with what happens in the S-plane, right? Like, for example, we looked at it yesterday and we said that anything in the left-hand S-plane was stable. Anything in the right-hand S-plane was exponentially growing, right? And that was unstable. And Austin came up with this rule last day which said that the magnitude of Z greater than 1, so you see, if I do two graphs here, here's the S-plane, okay? This is the sigma, and this is J omega, and this is the S-plane. And I don't know, I don't have a red one, but over here is unstable. And here is stable, right? And this is stable down here and unstable down there. Yeah. So this is over here, this is good over here. This is good over here. I like this. This is stable. I can handle that. Now what happened is Austin said, well, that corresponds, if this is a complex plane, Z is also a complex number, right? And Austin came up with this great idea here that we could just do this. This is the real part of Z, and this is the imaginary part of Z, right? And it's going to be a circle here. This is a radius 1 circle. You know, this is minus 1, right? And this is J up here, and minus J down here. And inside this circle, this is stable. Got it? And the circle is actually like the J omega axis there, right? It's the borderline of instability. And we were looking at a special problem here, which we came up with, right? And we had some roots, right? And where were those roots? The poles were at 1 plus J omega 0 cap T, right? So 1 plus J, so the poles were actually like over there and over there, right? Where this number right here was J omega 0 cap T, and so was that, right? Minus J omega 0 cap T. Now, this is an interesting thing because, you see, over here it was right on the borderline of stability. It was e to the minus, you know, this was J omega 0, and here was the other one, minus J omega 0, that's where the poles were, right? And this was right smack on the border of stability, right? Well, this dude is definitely outside the border of stability, right? So you see, when you go from a continuous thing to a discrete thing, the approximation can kill you. Right? You get the idea? So that's why we need to worry about the details, the digital control details, right? That's why it's not always safe to design your thing in the continuous domain and then make a quick little approximation. It's about like this. But it's not always. I mean, you know, if your approximations, if you were sound way down in, I mean, way over here and you did it, you'd be probably okay, right? But no, what I'm saying is, you know, there is, just because you're right on the border here doesn't mean you're going to end up right on the border there. There was an approximation going on, right? Does that make sense? So, I guess we've kind of defined the Z transform, so we've checked off number two here, right? And we've got about 10 minutes to try an example with a Z-transform thing, because, you know, well, Laplace transforms were our friend because they made solving the differential equation easier, right? That's what they did. So I think what we ought to do is we ought to try and solve this thing maybe with the Z-transform just to see if we could come up with a solution. Do you think we could? You know, it's just a kind of an exercise, a fun thing to try. I don't know. I haven't actually tried this myself before, but it seems like it would be kind of fun to try that same thing that we just solved with the, you know, assuming a solution of Z to the K, right? Could we just do that kind of thing with a Z-transform? Maybe we could figure out how to do that, and then we'll get an idea how the Z-transform works. We kind of have an idea how the Laplace transform works, so we'll try the Z-transform, see if it's as good as the Laplace transform was for solving these kind of initial value problems, right? Okay, so, example. And our problem was written right over there. So we're going to have x k plus 2 minus 2 x of k plus 1 plus x of k. And then I guess I'm going to make it plus omega 0 squared t squared times x sub k equals 0. That's basically, you know, this guy just multiplied by t squared all the way through. Is that okay? And so what did we do with Laplace transforms? We took the Laplace transform of the whole mass, right? Isn't that what we did? So let's try and take the Laplace transform of this, I mean the Z transform of this whole mass. So the first thing we have to do is take the Z transform of x of k plus 2. What is that? Any ideas? It's delayed by 2 units, is it not? What's that? I don't know. What? Forgot. What was it you do for your homework? I've forgotten what you did. But it's kind of, wouldn't it be something like z to the minus 2 times the z transform of, what do I call that? I'll just call that capital X. Yeah. X of Z. Is that right? Right? I mean, do you agree? Does that make sense? Because it's delayed by 2, right? We said e to the minus S cap T was a delay operator, right? We delayed this thing delayed by 2, right? So we got the delay operator squared times the, the function of z for the, you know, if it was just x of k, right? The z transform of x of k. Should I derive this, or does that make sense to you?
I think I have a little bit, like, I don't.
Yeah. Let me.
How do you get the x of, like, I see how you do the Z transform there, because it's just taking the Laplace transform of your sample of delete.
Right.
And then if you, I don't quite see how you went from X of K plus 2 to...
Yeah, to that. Okay, let's take a minute here and try and figure this out a little bit better. First of all, what I want to do is I want to go back and remind you what we did in the Laplace domain right here. Okay, so this will kind of, you know, this is stuff we should be more familiar with, should be feeling better. Here we did the Laplace transform of f of t minus a times u of t minus a. So what is f of t minus a, u of t minus a? It's basically, it's the same thing, f of t, u of t, except delayed by a seconds, right? It's delayed, it came a seconds late. It just didn't happen until a seconds late, okay? And so we came up with that, we did the Laplace transform, and we ended up with e to the minus sa times f of s, right? So in essence, in the s domain, e to the minus sa is, when you multiply by that, it basically is the same thing as changing t to t minus a in the u and the f here. Okay. In other words, this is the procrastination operator.
Right.
You multiply by this with your S domain, and you end up with the same thing as delay. Okay.
Right. Okay.
And so what I'm saying is, over here, my argument that I was trying to get you to accept here was that, you know, we have this Z was e to the minus ST, or e to the plus ST, right? Maybe I should write that somewhere here. Z was defined as e to the st, like that. So that means z to the minus 1 is e to the minus st, right?
Okay.
And this was the delay operator in the s domain, and since this guy was just the Laplace transform, I just changed this, you know, changed this notation to z's instead of s's. That's why I'm saying I'm just going to put, this would be e to the minus 2 st here. Times the Laplace transform, but now I'm changing, instead of using S's, I'm using Z's.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
See how that works. Yeah.
Now, I think I can also do it directly from the definition of the Z transform right here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, well, maybe it should be a plus 2 here.
Okay.
That's better. Because it's k plus 2, right? Not k minus 2. So it's actually, this is advanced by 2, right? Because it's k plus 2. And then I've got minus 2, and this will be just 1z times x of z, right? And then plus just x of z. Plus omega, well, maybe I'll just make it x of z times the quantity 1 plus omega 0 t squared, right? 1 for there, plus omega 0, this should be a squared, right? Squared over there, squared t squared, and then equals 0. Is that right? Okay, so now we need to solve for x of z. That's what we would have done back in the old days, right? Okay, so I've got x of z. I guess I didn't write the little top thing, so I just x of z like this, times quantity z squared minus 2z plus 1, right, equals. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Right? And beginning to suspect this delay operator right here, maybe there was something like in the derivative when we did it in Laplace transforms. Remember when we took the Laplace transform of the derivative, there was an initial condition there, right?
Yeah.
So maybe I need to actually think about this and actually do the Laplace or the Z transform of x of k plus 2, right?
So what would that be? So the z transform of x of k plus 2 will be the summation k equals 0 to infinity x of k plus 2 right here, right? Z to the minus k. Is that right?
Just looking over here. X to the n, z to the n, summed on n. N goes summing on k. Now k is my dummy index, I guess. Is that all right? Okay. And now what I'd like to do is I'd like to make a change of variables here. Let n equal k plus 2. Is that right? Okay, let n equal k plus 2. So this dude comes, wraps around, and becomes this summation here. Now, this will be n equals, is it going to be minus 2 to infinity? See, because when I put in k equals 0, whoops, n equals plus 2 to infinity. You agree? If I put in k equals 0 here, I get n equals 2 to infinity, right? So it's going to be 2. And this would be x of n, right? And then I've got z to the minus, okay, what's k? K is equal to n plus 2, right?
N minus
2. Let's see. So you say k equals n minus 2, right? Like that, right?
That's not a good spot for
plot. Did I do that right? That's not a good stop spot? That's not a good spot to stop, yeah. Yeah, for the clock. We just ran out of time. Well, what we can do this, this is z to the 2, right? Z to the 2, but then I have this summation here, n equals 2 to infinity of x of n, right? Z to the minus n. Is that correct? Okay, but this, I need that to be zero in order to get back to the z, so that's not quite right, right? So this, we better put a big question mark right here. This is question mark, right? And this actually is question mark, right? Right? Well, what do I got to do? Well, if I just take and add on a couple of terms here, I could make that go from zero to infinity, right? So this is really, this guy right here is really just the summation n equals 0 to infinity of z to the 2, xn, z to the minus n, right? And then I have to subtract off z squared times the first one, that would be z to the 0, which is, that would just be x sub 0, right? And then subtract off the next one. This was minus z squared. Is that right? No. This will only be z to the 1, because when I put in n equals 1 here, so this will be z to the 1 x of 1. Is that right? Did I do that right? And so I really should have put over here, we'll just fix this, how's that? And then when I take the pictures, it'll be right, right? But, so I needed to subtract off minus z squared x of, it's x of, little x of what? X of 0 minus z x of 1, and then for this guy, it would have been what? This would be minus 2, minus, there's something there, we got to do this one too, and I only did the double one, right? So it's probably minus, well, we'll just leave it, we'll put minus question mark here equals 0.
So we just need to get the first term.
Yeah, it'd be minus
zx
of
0.
Minus zx of
minus zx of 0, or is it just minus x of 0? Minus, must be minus zx. I think this is minus zx of 0. Like that?
Yeah, 2zx of
0. Minus 2z, because there was a 2 in front of it, right? Minus 2zx of 0. I think, okay. And then I can start doing this division and I won't get zero this time, right? Okay? Okay, so next day we'll finish this off and we'll probably do some more examples so we can get a better idea of what's going on with this crazy Z transform, right?